Life Audio.
The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
You're listening to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl, a show designed to help you be the compassionate, gospel-centered, and influential voice in your girl's life. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle. My guest is Michelle Ami Reyes, PhD. She is the Vice President of the Asian American Christian Collaborative and Co-Executive Director of PACS. She is the Scholar in Residence at Hope Community Church and author of Becoming All Things, How Small Changes Lead to Lasting Connections Across Cultures. Dr. Reyes lives in Austin, Texas with her husband and two amazing kids. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Reyes.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Today, we're going to talk about your book, Becoming All Things, How Small Changes Lead to Lasting Connections Across Cultures. I'm very interested in what you have to say. Since our listeners are parenting Gen Z, you know, Gen Z is a very inclusive generation. They do not like to polarize people, and they want to be an accepting, safe space for people. And so in that, I think that they are more inclined to have multicultural friendships. For our moms, I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about how we could encourage those friendships and support those friendships. And there's a couple of things that you talk about in your book, and there's three of them that I'd like to hit on today. And the first one is developing your cultural identity, because we all do have a cultural identity. You know, some of us aren't quite sure of it, but yeah, can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. Well, even just to add a few more sort of foundational pieces here, you know, the U.S. consensus, the most recent one, you know, has said that by 2045, the United States is going to be more brown than white. And in fact, for parents that have teenagers who are fit, you know, kids who are 15 years old or younger, this is already a reality that for Gen Z, over 50% are non-white. And so you have this increase in the number of teens and young children who are racialized minorities in our country and who are experiencing the United States in a distinctly non-white way. And so I think it's incredibly important that this is a conversation for Black, brown, and white parents together. And so absolutely, in my book, I talk about a lot of different practical steps to connect across cultures, but I start with developing your own cultural identity, you know, because if we can't see, let alone value and celebrate who we are culturally, how are we going to be able to see and value and celebrate who other people are in their cultural and ethnic makeup? And so, you know, I think it's important if you've never had conversations with your kids or even with your spouse or with your parents or grandparents to ask those questions of like, what is my personal story? What is my family's story? You know, if we are non-native, if we are non-indigenous, our families came from somewhere. They got on a boat at some point and made it to the American shores. And so, you know, what are our ethnic roots? I think so often, particularly, you know, my Anglo-American brothers and sisters, you know, they're like, well, I'm white, you know? And I'm like, well, what is your mom's heritage? Where did your mom's family come from? It's like, oh, well, my mom is German. And what about your dad? Where did your dad's family come from? Like, oh, well, my dad's grandparents are Dutch. And I'm like, oh, okay, so you're German Dutch. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, I never thought of that before. I'm German Dutch. You know? So like even just kind of thinking that through, you know, and even for African Americans, you know, you're not just African American, right? You have Nigerian roots or maybe you're part of the greater Black diaspora. Maybe you're Jamaican American or, you know, Afro-Caribbean or, you know, fill in the blank. And the same thing for myself. I'm not just Asian American. I'm second generation Indian American. So how do you begin having those conversations, learning your family's history to really understand who you are and to celebrate that so we can then begin to see and celebrate the people around us.
Mm, that's good. You know, now they have the DNA type test that people are taking, and that helps in discovering, for those who don't know, you know, helps in discovering where we come from, who we are. And mine is very complex, which I thought was very interesting. And Western Africa is the area that my ancestry derives from, but also 11% European. Mm. And, you know, there's other areas too. And so I just thought, this is very interesting to see where, you know, your genetic history derives from. So I agree. That is very important. There's another area I'd like to talk about. When we think about different cultures, sometimes it conjures up scripts or stereotypes that we may have been taught or we may have heard growing up. And you talk about how we can move beyond the stereotypes so that we can see the individual and allow the individual to express him and herself as they are without, in our minds, us having assumptions. I really appreciate the way you put that in the book and how we can do that. Can you talk about that a little more?
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's a, sounds weird to say fun when we're talking about stereotypes, but I think there's a fun and helpful activity that we can do as adults, but with our children particularly. If you have a paper towel roll or maybe a toilet paper roll, you know, an empty one, and you know, you put it to one eye and you close the other and you look at somebody, you can only see a small part of them. You can't see their full body, you know, front, back, side. Maybe you see a piece of their head or their arm or something like this. And I think that is, in essence, what a stereotype is. It's seeing a small reductive part of a person that doesn't tell the whole story. And that's in many ways how I understand and define a cultural identity, you know, using research from cultural anthropologists today, is that our cultural identity, they are the stories born from our ethnic heritages. You know, we are storied people. We are people made of stories. And when we stereotype somebody, we strip all the complexity and the richness of their story into some sort of caricatured person that doesn't actually exist in real life. And so this is why stereotypes are a problem, is we are overlooking and undervaluing a person's story. And so, you know, whether it's stereotypes about Asians as being the model minority, you know, that we're somehow Asians are all racially smarter and more successful than other people of color, that we somehow are all great at math and science, which of course is not true. I'm not good at math and science. Mm-hmm. It's just not true. And you know, even just some of the other stereotypes about Latinos and African Americans and Native Americans, we stereotype people when we don't know them personally. And so if we are going to counteract stereotypes in our own brains and our own hearts, which is where we need to begin the work of deconstructing stereotypes, we need to actually get outside our comfort zones and actually get to know real individual people of different cultures and get to know their specific story. That's how we're going to begin to deconstruct stereotypes. And I think we can encourage our children in that way too, is that when you know, I think sometimes when we as parents hear our children say something that's like, oh, that sounded horribly, you know, insensitive, or, you know, and I think we have to be gracious because children say things without necessarily that maliciousness behind it. So there's grace. But I think when those moments happen, we can begin to have those conversations with our kids, like, well, do you think that's their full story? Or when you say that comment, are you saying that because you know them? Are they your friend? Have you talked to them? Have they confirmed this? Why did you say that about that person? And kind of actually help your own child get to the roots of why he or she assumed that in the first place too.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, that brings up another interesting question, or actually observation, I should say, because you also discuss when people, even if they do know a person, don't assume that that person is the spokesperson for all people of that ethnic group or culture. Mm-hmm. You know, just like majority culture, they're not the spokesperson for everyone. And so we should not be looked at, people of color, as a spokesperson. Like me, for instance, I'm not the spokesperson for all Black or African-American people. You know, Amen. Everyone has their own stories, as you said, their own experiences. And so it's best to allow each person to express themselves and their stories. And I really appreciate that you pointed that out also.
Amen. I mean, I like to say I am like all Indians, like some Indians and like no other Indian, right? Like you could line up 10 Indians, maybe one, who was born and raised in India, one like my mom, who was born and raised in Uganda, Africa, myself, born in South Carolina, someone else from Trinidad and Tobago. We'd all be so different, you know, even though, you know, a white man from Texas and a white, 20-year-old man from Texas and a 50-year-old white man from Seattle, like,
right,
you know, there's no, and that's our challenge, is to never see two people as exactly the same. We are all unique individuals with different stories. And just because you connected in one way with one person, with one Latino, with one Asian, doesn't necessarily translate to that's going to be your point of connection or way of engagement with all people of that same ethnicity.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Okay, another area I wanted to touch base on is to embrace cultural discomfort. Why don't you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, that's good. I think oftentimes when we come when we are interacting with people of other cultures, there's these feelings that rise up within us of either fear or anger because they're just doing something that's totally different from our way of life. And you know, examples I think could include different levels of noise, right? Like we live in East Austin. Man, I mean, some of our neighbors be having, you know, parties with Tejano music blaring till 3 a.m. Or even I think about how different cultures, you know, some people eat very quietly, some people slurp while they eat, you know, even different foods smell different. Some are more comfortable than others. And so the question is, when we get into those situations where we all of a sudden feel like, wow, I feel really uncomfortable right now, or even I'm getting really upset because this is different. I truly believe that the model of Jesus is to lean into that discomfort and instead of immediately having some sort of knee-jerk reaction where we try to stop the difference and control the difference, that we challenge ourselves to say, well, that's not how I would do it, and that's okay. You know, and instead of trying to shame somebody or even put somebody else in harm's way, because we all know that these things escalate very quickly. We all know the stories oftentimes of white men and women calling the cops and all of a sudden Black and brown men and women, our lives are in danger simply because of cultural difference. You know, the onus is on us to say, okay, I feel uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean I need to call the cops. That doesn't mean I even need to open my mouth and like express judgment or criticism. Mm-hmm. I can keep my mouth shut and I can just challenge myself to love the other person as someone who's made in the image of God, who deserves to be treated with dignity and equality and love. And so honestly, when I'm encouraging people to think through how to embrace cultural discomfort, sometimes the best thing we can do is just keep our mouth shut and pray and say, and remind ourselves, I am not the standard. I am not the standard. I am going to love this person and not center myself in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, because there's times when you are, I live in an area where there's a lot of college kids behind us in the duplexes they rented, and there's a lot of loud parties going on. So, you know, yeah, you want to ask yourself, am I calling the police because they're playing this music at 3 a.m. or I'm calling the police because I have a stereotype about, quote, these people, and I just don't appreciate them. So, you know, I'm going to control the situation. I would agree
for
in
sure.
that.
But for sure.
I didn't ask you what I meant to was the title of your book, because it has to do with his perspective of presenting the gospel to those of different ethnicities and cultures. Can you break that down for me a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So I took the phrase becoming all things from the Bible passage in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23, where the Apostle Paul says, I became all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, just a few verses before that, he says, to the Jew, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. And then he goes on to say, you know, to those who are not Jews, you know, those who are not under the law, Gentiles and Greeks, I became like them as well to win them. But I was so struck at first, you know, a few years ago when I began my book journey with that phrase, to the Jew, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. And I thought, what in the world does Paul mean? You know, Paul himself is a Jewish man. Mm-hmm. Why does a Jew need to become like a Jew? Or, you know, for me, like, why would an Indian need to become like an Indian or an African-American become like an African-American? And what I realized eventually is that Paul is saying something that's incredibly provocative. He's basically declaring that no two Jews are the same, and that no two Gentiles by extension are the same. You know, Paul himself was a Pharisee, part of the educated elite, but there were also Sadducees, Zealots, you know, the political activists of the day, people of the land, Essenes. And we see when Paul goes on his missionary journeys and he's interacting with these different Jewish peoples, he adapts what conversation topics he brings up. He adapts even his style of speech, his behavior, slight nuances at times, but it's very provocative, because what he's saying is that I need to change. When I want to connect with other people, I'm not demanding that they change for me, that I'm going to change to meet them where they are at. And I think that's the model of Jesus. I think that's what we're called to do as Christians, is to meet people on their turf and to see the world through their eyes. We need to be humble students and learners, and to be constantly, you know, reading the room, getting a feel on people's personalities and communication styles, and adapting ourselves to be able to be not in a way that we're hiding who we are or being ashamed of who we are. We can be proud of our God-given cultural identities and make those small adaptions and nuances in our words and body language to point people to Christ and to show people the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. So we can do both. And that's the encouragement that I have in my book, is to hold those two things in tension together.
Mm. I love that. And you know what? There's nothing new under the sun, because it sounds like we are now in Paul's time. The same type of people are the people that we see today. So we can use Jesus and Paul as our examples.
Amen.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And for the mamas who want to connect with Dr. Reyes, I will put the links in the show notes. And also, I'll put a link to Dr. Reyes' book, Becoming All Things, How Small Changes Can Lead to Lasting Connections Across Cultures. Thank you again. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Reyes has another book available for pre-order titled The Race Wise Family. The book is co-authored with Helen Lee. It walks Christian parents through 10 distinct postures of the heart to raise kingdom-minded children who stand against racial injustice and inequity as part of their Christian witness and discipleship. And the book offers key scriptures and takeaways for understanding biblical theology of race, discussion questions, prayers, and conversation starters for families to work through together, and activities and resources families can use to be active in their communities. Remember, God is for you and you are not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
I'm Dr. Lauren DeVille, a practicing naturopathic physician in Tucson, Arizona. In my podcast, Christian Natural Health, my guests and I discuss topics ranging from nutrition, sleep, hormone balancing, and exercise to specific health concerns like hair loss, anxiety, and hypothyroidism. I'll also interweave biblical principles as they apply throughout the podcast because true health is body, mind, and spirit. Listen to Christian Natural Health for free at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcast platform.